Thank you, Madeline. Take your Bibles, please, and I invite you to turn to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22, and we'll be looking at verses 15 through 22. Matthew chapter 22. There is a falsity going around about separation of the church and government. There are those who say the church should have nothing to do whatsoever with who's elected and with the politics of the day. But you know, the Bible, you cannot study the Bible without realizing that the political situation always involves Christianity. Amen. Always has, especially in the founding of our nation. It was a factor whenever Herod wanted to kill all the little babies when Christ was born. That was political. He was jealous because he thought somebody else was going to be a king. There are many other places in the Bible that would certainly verify that. But the founding fathers never intended for us to stay out of the affairs of the government as Christians, nor did God. We're to be salt and light, meaning involved in it. And so I believe that the myth of the separation of church and state has been really twisted and turned in the wrong direction. The thing that was intended to say from the very beginning of our country and the founding fathers, I know the revisionists have tried to change all of that historically, but the truth of the matter is what they were supposed to do was stay out of our business, leave us alone. But we have every right as citizens, certainly, to vote for those who have moral positions and the right positions, that is at least as close to what we believe the Bible teaches as anything else. And we absolutely have that right. Matthew 22:15, "Then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. And they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art true and teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of men. Tell us therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? But Jesus perceived their wickedness," that's what they were up to, "and said, Why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? Show me the tribute money. And they brought unto him a penny. And he saith unto them, Whose is this image and superscription? And they say unto him, Caesar's. Then saith he unto them, Render therefore unto Caesar," that is the government, "the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. When they had heard these words, they marveled and left him and went their way." Render to Caesar that which is Caesar's, and render unto God that which is God's. Amen. We have the responsibility, I believe, to be involved in our political process. Now, we're fixing Texas is going to have the opportunity this year to make a big difference. A large difference. Now, I don't know that we have a lot of good pies to pick from about what to eat this time, but we're going to have to pick one of them, amen? We've got to pick one of them. And the Christian has a responsibility about government matters. And God's Word teaches that we have that responsibility. Christians are to be involved, I believe, in the democratic process of voting. That's what he's talking about in principle in verse 21. You know, we're blessed in America to have the privilege to have a say in what goes on in our government. Now, around the whole world, there are people that would give their right arm to have that privilege today. People in Cuba and other places around the world would love to have the opportunity to have the freedom to vote on who is in charge of their government. But they don't have that freedom. And then there are those in America who have the freedom but don't take the opportunity and I believe the responsibility in voting in the democratic process. And yes, I am a registered voter. I wouldn't be preaching this to you. We have that responsibility, I believe, to God. Now, we're all going to vote, even in the primary. You say, preacher, you just don't know. I'm not going to take the time to go do that. You're going to vote. One way or the other. You will vote, number one, by default. By failing to vote in the primary, you're going to vote by default. If you do not vote for the right one in that, you are voting by default for the wrong one, perhaps, to get in. That's one way, and that is by default. A second way is many are going to vote carelessly. Amen? They're going to vote, number one, out of selfishness, just what is going to be in it for them financially. Yeah. Now, folks, I want to tell you today there's something far more important than how much money you have in the bank. Amen. And that is godliness and morality and where we are standing as a nation in relationship to Almighty God. Amen. But there are many going to vote selfishly, and many will vote out of ignorance. You know, most voters would not hire somebody like they hire somebody to represent them. If you're going to hire somebody and you expect me to do that, we've hired a minister of music from Pensacola Christian College, and he's traveling right now with a group, but I checked him out. I got some good references, and I asked for some references, got them, called them, talked to the people, checked with people who knew this young man, and checked about his past as a student, so on and so forth, and he came so extremely highly recommended to us. And he'll be coming around maybe in May for a weekend, and then later he's going to be joining, he's joining our staff here. But my point is, I checked him out, and I think you probably would be glad that I checked him out. Suppose I just heard somebody somewhere and said, man, he can sing like a mockingbird. I'm going to hire him. Suppose he's a liberal. Suppose he believes in abortion. Suppose he doesn't believe that the Bible is the inspired word of God. Suppose he doesn't give a rip about whether people get saved or not. I don't want that kind of man, and you don't want me to hire that kind of man. And yet we vote for people that we don't even know who they are or what they stand for. There was a dog elected to a political office in Tennessee one time. No reflection on Tennessee, Brother Chuck. No reflection in some of the rest of you. But this guy just thought he'd put him in, put him on the ballot and all that, and the guy got elected. I think it was mayor of a city or something like that. I've forgotten what. But a dog got elected because the people didn't know who they were voting for. And he put him down, put his name down. Now today we're going to have the ushers at the end of the service pass out these voter guides. And they are honest, and they're not biased. They just list what's there. And if you have one good eyeball in road walking sense, somewhere close to that, you can take one of these, and it'll take you a little time. You may not be able to watch the game shows and all the TV stuff. It may take you at least 30 minutes to go over this and find out who's running and what they're going to be running for in the primary and put the right kind of people there in the primary so we'll have somebody later in November to vote on that thinks like we think. And the men are going to be at the doors to pass these out for you. This is not a Republican paper, nor a Democratic paper, nor a Libertarian paper, anything else. It's just a voter guide to inform you where they stand on the main issues. And all of those 13 issues are listed, and you can find out where they stand. And I think as believers, when we see, we ought to vote educated, knowing what they believe in, and vote for morality and decency, and vote for what would please Almighty God. Now, I might add, and I would be in the company of George Washington and Daniel Webster when I say this, don't just vote party. George Washington early on warned people, one of the most serious things you can do one of the most serious fallacies you can have is to vote just party. Vote on principle. Vote for what's right. Vote for the right thing morally for the family, for the homes, for the government, for everything that is best for our country. Now, there are good and bad in both. I understand that. But vote for what is right. Vote for morality. Christians are to also, we have a responsibility, some of the principles we have as Christian voters are not only to be involved in voting, but also to pray for our leaders. We should pray for our leaders. We may not agree with everything they do, and many times we will not, but we've been admonished by the Scripture, 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 3. Paul, writing to Timothy, said, I exalt thee therefore, that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, that would be our president, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. How many of you today believe that prayer has an impact and changes things? Raise your hand. Then by the grace of God, we ought to pray for our leaders. We ought to pray for our mayors and our senators, our United States Congress people. We ought to pray for them. And we ought to pray for others. Take a little time in those people in leadership and do it. If my people, which are called by my name, 2 Chronicles tells us, there's a responsibility that we have as believers to pray. And we need to be praying about this primary and these elections that are coming up, that God would give us somebody and stay his reprieve of judgment on the United States and give us a little while longer like he did the people in Nineveh in order to have a revival or to win more people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Bible says that we are to respect and obey our governmental leaders. Now there is an exception to that. Remember, we have a dual citizenship. I am a citizen of the United States of America. Brother Patterson, how many citizenships do you have? I don't know. You travel all over the world. Two, I guess. Three. But I am a citizen of the United States of America, and I'm a citizen of heaven. Amen. If you're saved, your citizenship is in heaven. Amen. So we have a dual citizenship. And so there comes a time sometimes that we have to make some decisions. If the government down here tells me to disobey God, who is the head of the citizenship that I have in heaven, then I am to obey God and refuse the one down here. That's a biblical principle. The Bible teaches us that. That's when we are commanded to disobey the Scripture. Daniel did it and others did it. There were others that said, you can do what you want to do, but we know, Peter and others said, we've got to do what God told us to do. We cannot waver on that. We have to do what God tells us to do. And Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Acts 5:29. The Bible is very clear that we have a responsibility to obey God first. But inasmuch as we have the responsibility as a citizen of this nation, we ought to respect and obey our governmental leaders. Romans 13, we don't have time to turn there, but those first seven verses tell us that those people are in authority. They are actually ministers of God doing their job, doing their responsibility before Almighty God, so that we can have a sane society and they can carry out law. Law is good. Without law, we'd be in a mess. And they have carried that out, and thank God for them, and we do need them. That was a policeman that sang that first solo. I enjoy hearing a good policeman sing. I've had a few policemen make me sing before, but it's always good to be on the other side of that deal. That was a great job. But we're to obey the governmental leaders. And I've known some preachers that say, well, my citizenship is in heaven, so I'm not going to pay my taxes. I read the other day about one in the Soul of the Lord had a 5,000 membership church, and he didn't pay his. He's going to prison now. You better be careful. You have a dual citizenship, and we have a responsibility to our government. Christians ought to elect, I believe, in office, to the best of their ability, those candidates who will uphold and mirror, that is, set the example, uphold and mirror in their personal lives biblical righteousness. That doesn't mean they have to be perfect, because you aren't either. But they should be people who reflect in their personal life and in their private life, if it were known, that they are walking with God to the best of their ability. Proverbs 14:34, here's the principle. Righteousness exalteth a nation. Good, godly, living people and exemplary people in office also exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Whether they're a Republican or a Democrat or an independent or whatever they may be, if they are living a sinful lifestyle, they're a reproach to us. And we're a reproach to our nation if we don't try to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we should, we have a responsibility to not just elect people according to what it's going to do for our pocketbooks, but rather what is best for the nation, so that the nation does not rot morally and get away from God. You go back to about 1972 and 73, and there have been those experts who have charted on charts what has happened in America. Teenage pregnancy went off the charts after the federal courts decided that we would have a predisposition more so to secular humanism than we would to the Christian root that this nation was founded on. And so teenage pregnancy went up. Divorce rate has gone up. And oh, some of them are bragging and saying, well, it's down a little bit. Yeah, because they don't even get married now. They just live with each other. That's why it's down a little bit, but 50% divorce rate. And there are many, many other things that are telltale signs that show you when we got away from God in many ways because of that, we're paying a price in our society today. A high price. A high price. Roe versus Wade, those kind of things. I hope someday that can be reversed and we're on the verge of that, but we've got to vote right. We've got to do the right thing. Righteousness exalteth a nation. Sin is approach to any people. I believe that candidates ought to reflect biblical righteousness as much as they can. Genesis, for instance, in the family structure. I believe they ought to vote for the biblical family. And two homosexuals getting married is not a biblical family. Two lesbians getting married is not a biblical family. It's one man for one woman in a monogamous relationship, and the ideal is for lifetime, till death part. Genesis 1:26-28, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. We ought to recognize the family structure. So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. It wasn't Adam and Steve, my dear friend. It was Adam and Eve. And that's God's plan. And God bless him, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth, and you're familiar with what God said. God set up the family structure. You cannot improve on what God has set up, and that's the normal way and the right way. And God says in Romans chapters 1 and 2, any other way is a wrong way and an unnatural way and a sinful way. So I'm going to vote for somebody who is standing strong for the family. You'll find in here some do not want that. They are totally against the family, and their voting shows that they are against what we would consider the family as we would know it. And they also ought to protect local churches so that they can remain free from governmental influence, governmental controls and interference. We know that the church is something that Christ set up and ordained, the local assembly, the ecclesia. The ecclesia is across the world. We're not the church of the state of Texas or the church of our nation, but we're local New Testament assemblies that God has ordained, And the government has no business to tell us what to do. We are indigenous, autonomous, self-governing organizations ordained by Almighty God, given the right to work and labor and to carry out the commission God has given us within His Word. And we ought to have that right. The government has no right to come in and tell me that I cannot preach on homosexuality being wrong. The government has no right to come and interfere with the pulpit and tell me that I cannot call homosexuality what it really is. The government has no right to tell me that I don't have a right to stand up here and say murder is wrong or anything else is wrong. They have no right to interfere with that. They don't have any right to do it. And then preserving the sacredness of human life. If we're going to vote for somebody, we ought to vote for somebody that believes in the sanctity of life. Amen? We should never vote for a candidate that believes in abortion, even if it's going to mean you get more money. Abortion is a horrible thing. It's murder. And we've killed little babies and killed them in stem cell research. Some of the liberals are trying to get all of that done so they can still bring little babies as they come through the birth canal and suck out some of the stem cells right then and kill them so they can put it in people that might have some kind of disease. And listen, they can do that with cadavers and everything else in the world. They don't need to kill little babies to do that. I don't have time to back up the case, but I can tell you there's so much scientific evidence. You don't have to do that. I feel sorry for people who have Parkinson's, and I think anything we can do to help them out, we ought to do it. But don't murder babies to do it. That's a ridiculous point of view to have. Psalm 139, "For thou hast possessed my reins," the psalmist said, "thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." Who made the baby? Not just the husband and wife, my friend. God is involved in that through His plan. And God is involved in a little baby in a womb. God made that baby. I've had doctors tell members of my church, as they did those scans and all that, "You need to have an abortion. That baby will never be okay. That baby is going to be born all messed up. And you just best thing for you to do is have an abortion." And they came with me to me with tears in their eyes. And I said, "Listen, you let God handle that. You let God take care of it." And I want to tell you that those babies have been born, for the most part, without any kind of physical problem. And they would have aborted those babies. There have been some great, great musicians and scientists would have been killed if they were in their mother's womb today. One of the most unsafe places in the world today is in a mother's womb. Shouldn't be that way. That ought to be one of the safest places in the world. I believe those we put in office ought to embrace a work ethic and a thrift. I believe we need to get back in our society where if you get something, you ought to work for it. You shouldn't. We don't need a welfare state. Doesn't matter the color of their skin or nationality. We don't need a welfare state. We need the free enterprise. We don't need socialism. We don't need social medication. There's a better way to do some of those things. We need to embrace a work ethic and thrift. 2 Thessalonians 3:10. "For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat." There's something that is connected with eating and working. And I know that sometimes it's difficult, and their jobs sometimes can be a little scarce. But you just have to go on and get what you can and let God handle the rest. But the Bible principle is that we ought to work, and people ought to work. And the middle-income people should not be taxed to death just to support those who are unwilling to work. Now, there are some legitimate people who have some legitimate needs, but I'm going to tell you, about 80 or 90% of it probably is not legitimate. When they pay girls to have more babies and they'll take them all the way through college at our expense, something is wrong with that. And I believe after one or two, they ought to have an operation, if that's the case. come to the place where if they can't get married and do it God's way and live God's way, then there should be some other option out there that could help them out. And being straight with people sometimes is not being cruel, it's helping them out. Proverbs 10:4-5, he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. That's the principle of Proverbs. I believe that they ought to accept, these people ought to be accepting the full responsibility for their attitudes and behavior, whatever it may be. And I hear the arguments of those who are in high positions, and they say, it's my business. What I do is my business. And after all, if I want to have an affair too, that's all right. That's just me. That's my business. That's the way I live. Romans 14 says, for none of us liveth to himself. And no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore we die, we are the Lord's. And he goes on to talk about it. What he's simply saying is, that everybody's lifestyle impacts our nation. Everybody's lifestyle, and if it's somebody that's in the White House, I don't care who it is, he has no more right to have affairs or do anything else, nor would a woman, than anybody else. Or a senator, or a congressman, if they're going to be in there, well, to try to put them in there. I know some go bad after they get in there, and everybody's under the opinion that everybody that gets in there goes bad. But that's not the case. There are some good men and good women that are out there trying to do what's right. I know some of them. I've met some of them. They're godly Christians who are standing up for what's right. And we need to try to put them in those positions. They ought to reflect a Christian lifestyle and Christian character and loving other people regardless of their race, color, or economic status. 1 Corinthians is a love chapter. We ought to love everybody, amen? We ought to love people of all races, and they ought to have the same rights that we do. And those who go in there should not be some kind of elitist that doesn't believe that. I believe that Christian Americans should endeavor to live their lives, those of us that are born again, children of God, so that God can and will bless Christian Americans and will bless our nation. In Ephesians 5, he says we're to walk as children of light. Amen. We're not of the darkness. We don't have any right to walk in darkness and sin in the ways of the world. Come ye out and be ye separate, saith the Lord. In our Sunday school lesson in John 15, he says we are to come out. We're to be separate from the world system. The world system is not our system. We're to be light. We're to have a good testimony. We're to stand up, speak out. We're to get involved. We're to participate in these processes in order for our nation to be what it should be. I'm simply saying to you, my dear friend, as a good Christian citizen, you ought to be registered, and your vote counts in an election. Amen. Our vote counts, especially this year in the primary. And you cast the deciding vote in these matters. By the way, you cast the deciding vote in all spiritual matters. For you. In some cases for others, but for you. In the matter of salvation, you're the only one that can cast that vote for yourself. When I was 9 years old, I cast my vote. And I said, Jesus, I receive you as my Savior. And if you'll have me and you'll save me and forgive me of my sins, take me into your family, I'm willing to do it. And I cast my vote for salvation. And guess what? He saved my soul. If you're here today, the most important vote you can cast if you're not saved is to cast your vote to get saved today. Amen. How do you get saved, preacher? By trusting Jesus Christ, nothing more, nothing less. I talk to people all the time, try to tell them how to come to Christ, and they give me, I'm a church member. Whoop-de-doo. I've been baptized. Well, glory. I was baptized as a baby. I think I'm going to heaven. No, you're not. Not unless you get born again. I join, I'm a Methodist, or I'm a Baptist, or I'm a Lutheran, or I'm an Episcopalian, or whatever. As if that means you're going to heaven. None of that guarantees you're going to heaven. What guarantees you're going to heaven is you cast your vote for Jesus Christ, you admit you're a lost sinner on your way to hell, a horrible, terrible, eternal damnation place, and you don't want to go there, my friend. You need to come to Christ and be born again. You need to be saved. Cast your vote today while you have the opportunity to cast your vote. Cast your vote for the Lord Jesus Christ. Neutral you cannot be, the old songwriter wrote. You cannot be neutral. If you do not accept Jesus Christ, your vote is against Him. And if you continue that way, you'll die and you will go to hell. There is a hell. If I didn't believe in hell, I wouldn't be up here preaching. There is a real hell. And my dear friend, I don't say that to put you down or be a small addict or to make you think we hate you. I'm telling you, you're going to go to hell if you don't get saved. Amen. Vote today to be saved and know for sure and for certain that you're saved. Now's the time to do it. Hebrews 4:7. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time as it is said. And then he said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. That was a challenge to them. That's a challenge to you today if you're unsaved. Don't harden your heart. Listen to his voice. Neutral you cannot be. What will you do with Jesus? Everybody's got to do something with Jesus. You got to do something. You either reject him or accept him as your Savior. And then you have a right to vote, to come to a place in your life after you've been saved where you surrender your life to the Lord and really quit playing in mean business and get involved and start serving God. You have that vote, that right, but you're going to stand up at the judgment seat of Christ for how you voted as to whether you yield your life to God or not. And then we have the right to make a commitment to God to vote for those who are godly and those who reflect godly principles, and I think we should. Proverbs 14:34, again, the Bible is so clear. Righteousness exalteth a nation. Amen. Righteousness exalteth a nation. Amen. And sin, or but sin, is a reproach to any people. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a responsibility as citizens of heaven and citizens of this country to vote right and to put as best we can, to the best of our educated knowledge of knowing where they stand, people in the primaries and people in office that reflect the things that are going to help our country stay what it ought to be for the glory of God. What's your vote? The only thing that is necessary really for a country to fail and to fall and all of that is for good people to do nothing. Edmund Burke. And that's true. If we don't do anything, mothers and dads, you ought to teach your teenage boys and girls and children, you ought to teach them their civic responsibility to stand up, take a stand, speak out, and vote. I'm proud of some of our young people. The father of one of our young ladies called the other day, and she was doing a paper to take an opposite position on evolution in her class. I thank God for young people like that. And I'm glad they called. She wanted a little poem. There's a couple of poems that I've used in the pulpit, and some others have too. And I gave her one. I'm no kin to the monkey. No, no, no. The monkey's no kin to me. I don't know about your ancestors, but mine didn't hang from a tree. Amen. And she closed out her paper with that. I like that. That's good. I expect the teacher had hernias, but at any rate, or a heart attack, but that's all right. Once it was a tadpole, long and thin. Then it was a bullfrog with my tail tucked in. Then it was a monkey hanging from a tree. Now I'm a professor with a PhD. Amen. There was somebody else that used something like that the other night. That's good. Amen. We're to be salt and light. Thank God for teenagers who have the courage to stand up. And young people, and young couples, and others. I'm just saying, this is spiritual. You say, well, that's a political speech. No, it isn't. It's spiritual. I've given you what the Bible principles are. Righteousness exalteth a nation. nation, nationality, nations, that's political. And we have given them too much rope, and now they're hanging us with it. And we need to take a stand, do the best we can. Now, I understand God has a sovereign plan. I understand that someday Antichrist is going to show up. I understand that in Bible prophecy you don't find America. I don't know what. Either we're going to be maybe merged into the European Union, something like that, and become so weak. You can easily see the possibility of that right now, what's going on. Or Iran can stick one down our throat. They're getting the nuclear power and Russia's working with them and all of that. You think Russia went out of business a while back? They didn't go out of business. The USSR did, but Russia never has and never will until God gets through with them. I understand the sovereignty of God, and God's going to carry out His plan, but I also understand that He said, occupy till I come. Amen. And we have a great responsibility to do so, and I encourage you to do that. Besides all of that, Christians, we ought to just live right. If you have sin in your life and you're practicing sin, you're hurting our church, you're hurting our nation, you're hurting your family. Righteousness exalteth a nation. We need to do what's right. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed. I'm going to ask you, if you're not saved, to vote today, to vote to accept Jesus as your Savior. Would you do that? Would you let Him come into your heart? He loves you. You have a vote in where your church membership is. As God leads you, if He leads you, come into our church and say, I'm going to come and join you. I put my vote with you. Whatever it may be, you have that choice. You have a choice to be saved or not to be saved. You have a choice to live right or not to live right. You have a choice to be surrendered to God or not. What vote do you have? You have a choice to be a good citizen, or just say, I don't care. But we do have a choice, friends. I hope we don't take our freedoms for granted. Father, bless us. Thank You for the United States of America. Thank You, dear God, for our forefathers. Yes. And even if they were theists, some of them, they still believed in the principles of the Word of God and the stand that we're supposed to have based on that. In our Constitution and everything that was written up was all Bible-based, and even the warnings of our early presidents and forefathers. Lord, we thank You for this country. Lord, help us to do everything that we can to preserve righteousness in this nation. May You help us and convict us. If there's somebody here without Christ today, I pray they'd be saved. God, have Your will and way now, in Jesus' name.